Ramsay TV.
Did King David really dance naked before the Lord and all of Israel when bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem from the Philistines? We need to know. I need to know. There is a great spiritual lesson in this account from 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Is that where it is? It's in one of those Chronicles. Read both Chronicles. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Well, we're going to find out from 2 Samuel chapter 6. So let's go there now. Now, I'm reading from the Concordant version of the Old Testament, so they call it the Coffer of the One. It's the Ark of the Covenant, same thing. The Philistines had captured it, very rude of them, and it cursed them. They couldn't wait to get rid of it. So David ends up bringing it from the house of a guy named Obed-Edom. Remember when that guy named Uzzah tried to steady the Ark of the Covenant as it was rumbling down a dirt road on the ox-drawn cart? Well, let me just read about it. It's really a tough passage. When they came to the threshing site of Nacon, Uzzah stretched forth his hand to the coffer of the one, Elohim, and took hold of it, for the oxen were restive. That means the oxen were not happy. They were agitated. Just like freaking Charles over here. Here he goes again. It can't be a coincidence. He's crazy about being on my show. He starts this business. This crazy business. Hey, Charles. Take a break, kid. Could you take a break while I'm doing my show? What do you think, kid? Is it possible? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, it's not possible then. So on we go with the show. It's not the first time, is it? What's that light back there? It's weird. It's a tongue of fire. Isn't it supposed to be over my head? Yeah. We'll just go with it, folks. We're just going to go with it. Where was I? Oh, the guy named Uzzah tries to steady the Ark of the Covenant. The oxen were restive, yes. It doesn't mean they were resting. They were restive. They were fidgety. They needed a smoke. And the anger of Yahweh grew hot against Uzzah. Why? Because common people were not supposed to touch the Ark of the Covenant. The one Elohim smote him there for his carelessness. And so he died there by the coffer of the one Elohim. Some people think that the Old Testament God can't be God because he's too arbitrary, he's too mean. No, this was the law. And besides, we had to see how great God is, how really unapproachable he is because of his majesty, because of his might, because of his perfection. Because only then would we appreciate when Paul says we have access with confidence to the Father. No way to appreciate that unless you see incidences like this. Now the distress of David grew hot because Yahweh had breached a breach against Uzzah, and one has called that place Perez Uzzah until this day. I'd like to go there. David became fearful of Yahweh on that day. He said, how can the coffer of Yahweh come to me? So what does he do? He diverts it to another guy's house. It's kind of like having a food taster. Well, let's run the Ark of the Covenant past Obed-Edom the Gittite. See what happens to that guy. Yeah, like he's testing what's going to happen. But now it's in Israel's home country, and this guy, Obed-Edom, is not going to be handling it. He's not going to be putting a vase of flowers on top of it or the TV guide or anything like that. He's going to like put it in the corner. But look what happens. David would not take the coffer of Yahweh to himself. Into the city of David, he had it turned aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. So the coffer of Yahweh remained with the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And Yahweh blessed Obed-Edom and his whole household because they did not put the TV guide or a vase of flowers on top of the coffer of the one. When it was told to King David, saying, Yahweh has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he has for the sake of the coffer of the one Elohim, then David went and brought up the coffer of the one Elohim. It's safe. Good to go. He brought it up from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David amid rejoicing. Yeah, but what about Obed-Edom? He was golden for 3 months. Every lottery ticket he bought was a winner. His wife and him got along miraculously. They never had an argument. His kids never talked back to him. And once in a while, he could levitate. Now, out the door. It came to be when the bearers of the coffer of Yahweh had marched 6 steps that he sacrificed a bull, David did, and a fatling. And then, here it comes, David was frisking with all his strength before Yahweh. You're hearing words that you're not used to hearing because this is the concordant version of the Old Testament, very literal. David was frisking. That's what it says. It doesn't say he was dancing. He was frisking. I think this is beyond dancing. I picture frisking. I don't know. This is just my instinct. But to me, frisking would be something like this with the hands, which is not really dancing. But I would be twisting my wrists and like doing this. To me, that's frisking. Maybe a little of this. Maybe a little come hither business. Like, that would be frisking. That's just what I think. Maybe some elbows. Yeah, maybe some elbows. So what David was doing before the Lord with all his strength. And David was girded with a linen ephod. Now, some people would pronounce this ephod. There's no help for those people. A linen ephod was a garment for the priests. Now, David was a king, not a priest. It was a sleeveless thing. No, not a wife beater. It wasn't a wife beater. It was like draped. It had a hole up here for the head, and then it was draped. One little drape in the front, one in the back, and then there was a little Velcro attachment on the side. But the key thing to know here is that it was not a royal coat, royal garb, the purple, the glitter, the glam. No, it wasn't that. Some people thought it should have been that because David was king. We're going to see who in a second. Thus David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the coffer of the covenant of Yahweh. See, this is the Ark of the Covenant. With shouting and with the sound of trumpets. As the coffer of Yahweh was entering the city of David, Saul's daughter, Michal. It's got, you have that guttural thing. Michal gazed out through the window shutters and saw King David prancing and frisking. Remember? Frisking. Some elbow action. Saul's daughter, who happened to be David's wife, saw the king David prancing and frisking before Yahweh. She despised him in her heart. Thus they brought in the coffer of Yahweh and put it in its place in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. Then David offered up his sin offerings before Yahweh, who wouldn't, and peace offerings. I understand completely. When David had finished offering up the ascent offering and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of Yahweh of hosts. Then he distributed portions. This guy is like stage diving. He's out among the people. He distributed portions of bread among the people, among the entire throng of Israel, both man and woman, to each. One perforated loaf of bread, one date cake, and one raisin cake. Are you kidding me? A date cake and a raisin cake? But this is the man, David, a little crazy, a little eccentric, but God's man. This is a man after God's own heart. God loves eccentric people. Almost every member of the body of Christ I know is in some way eccentric, that is out of center. We're not normal people. It's not that knowing the gospel makes us abnormal. It's that because we're abnormal and eccentric, God chooses us. I feel very at home among eccentric, abnormal people. Who wants to be normal anyway? Then all the people left, everyone to his home. Ah, here it came. When David returned to bless his own household, Saul's daughter Michal came forth to meet David. She said, "Oh, how illustrious was the king of Israel today, who exposed himself today before the eyes of the maidservants of his servants, as one of the dancers openly exposes himself." This is why people get the idea that David was dancing naked, or that his manhood was hanging out from underneath his linen ephod. David replied to Michal, "Before Yahweh I have danced. Blessed be Yahweh who has chosen me rather than your father." Ooh, twist the knife. He probably, of course, he wouldn't have brought this up, except she goaded him. So he has to remind her, "Well, tell you what, I have danced and I will dance. Blessed be Yahweh who has chosen me rather than your father or anyone of his house. Sorry about your luck, Michal, to commission me as governor over the people of Yahweh over Israel. I will gamble." G-A-M-B-O-L. I wasn't ready for this. Is that how you pronounce it? "I will gamble before the Lord." Gamble. Some kind of a crazy dance. G-A-M-B-O-L. I've heard it. Run or jump about playfully. How do you pronounce it, though? Gamble. Yeah, gamble. Just like rolling the dice in Las Vegas. To run or jump about playfully, the mare gambled toward her. So, as a horse does. Or, you know, when you let cows out. I lived across from a couple hundred cows for 25 years. Raised my family next to a dairy farm. Across from a dairy farm. So, I guess when you let those cows out after being tucked in all winter, they gamble. And this is what David did. "I will gamble before Yahweh. I will be dishonored even more than this. I will become low in your eyes. Yet with the maidservants of whom you speak, with them I shall be glorified. As for Saul's daughter, Michal, to her came no child until the day of her death." Here's the thing. This woman was disgusted that David became as a commoner. This is how he exposed himself. He exposed himself as a normal guy. He exposed himself as a regular person. He didn't expose himself anatomically. No. He became as one of the people. He frolicked. He gambled. He frisked about. He wore the common ephod of a common priest. And he stage dove into the crowd, breaking bread, raisin cakes, date cakes, you name it. And he loved it because he knew, this is what I like about this, David knew that God had chosen him not because he was big, because he was little. He was a little boy when he was anointed by Saul to become king of Israel. Remember when, I'm sorry, I said Saul. When Samuel came to Jesse's house to pick a future king of Israel, all the sons came before him, and they were all strapping youths, muscle-bound, abs, the whole bit. Nope, not this one, not this one. Jesse said, well, Samuel said, isn't there one more? Isn't there any more? I mean, this is it? You only have, what, 6, 7, 8, 9? Well, I got one in the field, but he's the runt of the litter. You don't want to see him. Samuel said, well, I'm not leaving here until I do see him. So the little pipsqueak came in, and God told Samuel, this is my man. Ooh, I love that. This is my man. This is the one who is going to gamble and frolic and frisk, and he's going to not hoard to himself his advantage. He is going to be humble because he is humble. He has no pretensions. He knows he's just like everyone else. So he stage dives among the people. I absolutely love this. It was the day that I realized that it wasn't because of me that I was chosen. I was just like anyone else. It reminds me of the Beatles, too. The Beatles said, concerning themselves, we were the first working class band that stayed working class. That's right. They never got too big for their britches. Their heads never got too big. They stayed working, a working class band. They never bought into the celebrity, really. They just kept their sense of humor. This was David. Kept his sense of humor. Never got overoccupied with his celebrity, with his privilege. But his wife didn't like it because she was arrogant. She liked to put on airs, apparently. She liked to look like a big shot in front of everybody. So there's her husband out there, the King of Israel, gallivanting. Forgot to mention that one. Well, I didn't forget it. The writer of 2 Samuel forgot it. Come on, gallivanting. In the body of Christ, it's not like we're like everybody else. It's kind of like we're, in a way, lower than everybody else. And yet we're frisking and frolicking and gallivanting and gambling. Why are we doing this? Because of the joy of having been chosen. David admits, so he says, I was chosen instead of your father. Sorry about your luck. And instead of anybody in your house, sorry about the luck of your entire family tree. But he knows it was completely the choice of God. It was the delight of God, just like it says in Ephesians, for the delight of his will. We have been designated beforehand for the place of a son and a daughter. And so our joy is unreserved. I mean, I have joy deep down. You know that. Not always happy, but I got the joy. And so I do things like, you know, drink alcohol on the show or smoke cigarettes. And somebody might say, oh, how Martin Zender has displayed himself today. How he has humiliated himself in front of the people, claiming to be the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. Where are his priestly robes? Where's his diploma? Where are the adoring fans? Where's his crystal cathedral? Where's all his miracles? Where's all his money? Where's his Gulfstream? Where's his chauffeured vehicle? Where's his gilded numbers on the side of his house depicting his address? No, none of those things. This sports coat may as well be a linen ephod. I love the humility of David. It's our humility. And as we learn more and more about our place as sons of God, it ought to make us happy. And never be self-conscious of your place. Never say, why me? Celebrate it. Especially if it pisses everyone else off.